This week, RuneScape turns 20, and we've got mini-quests, cake, questions, and echoes of one small favor. We reminisce about the J-Mod's memories while sharing some of our own. Then, we look to the future and discuss what a player model rework means. This is RSBNB Update, episode 811, recorded Thursday, January 7th, 2021. 20 years of good times.
Hello, everybody. This is Trucky Trucky here, also known as J1G23, and I'm back with some new RuneScape Heart of Glutenor action, 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 action. Now, to right of me over here, we have Tennis. Say hi, Tennis. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Trucky.
Yay, Tennis! And right next to me is Quinshane. Now.
Hello, hello, everybody. I feel like I'm heading out to the auction yard, and we're going to be starting to run our auction on a new head of bull here. Do we have anybody?
Yeah, brother.
I don't know. I feel like I was at one of those auctions, you know, where they're auctioning off the farm animals and farm equipment. I don't know if you guys have ever been to one of those.
Shane, I'm from the city. Where the heck would I want to buy a cow for?
I mean, I'm from farm country, but I haven't even done that. I mean, I've been to some auctions.
Yeah, but I'm not buying a cow to get free milk.
Oh, don't you love the rural roots of RSVNB Update? And I say that I live in the city, but I feel like I have rural roots.
You're probably as Canadian country as it comes, Shane. You're just missing a flannel and a beard.
And a banjo.
We're not talking about Alabama, but anyways, of course, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of RSVNB Update. Thank you, Trekkie, for that high energy intro, and for those unaware, that's exactly what he sounds like when he's playing StarCraft 2.
He's not wrong.
What was your most record highest action per minute recently?
230 as Zerg.
Yeah, so what this means for everybody out there is Trekkie effectively activated 230 actions in a single minute while playing a game. And you know there's 60 seconds in a minute, right? So 230 over 60, you know, that's basically 3.8 actions every second he was averaging.
And I still felt too slow.
Yeah, so that's StarCraft 2. And you know, if you want an RTS, it doesn't get any more traditional than that. But nonetheless, of course, StarCraft 2 is not the topic of the podcast this week. We are here to talk about the 20th anniversary of RuneScape, a game that, you know, I started playing it full-heartedly in 2004. I think I created my account prior to members in 2002 because I got my 15-year cape on February 27th, 2017, the exact 15-year mark that members had been out. So I've had that since the very beginning. But Tannis, you've been around since what? 10, I think you said?
Probably about 08.
08?
Well,
okay.
08 and 09, yeah.
All right.
But it was like the tail end. It had to have been the tail end of 08 because all the stuff we covered, I'm like, nope, that was later.
Yeah. And you, so. Trekkie?
If I remember correctly, I remember I got introduced to this in school during my sophomore year of high school. So it was around 02, 03. And yeah, people were playing it and we were like, hey, this looks interesting. We started it and it was like, oh, and here I am. And you know what's funny, Shane?
What's that?
RuneScape is now older than most players.
Yeah. Yeah, than most players were when they started. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know what the average age is of an RS player today. And, you know, I came into this week, I was thinking we were going to get, you know, maybe a week worth of celebrations. But, you know, it was implied that this anniversary party is actually going to run for the entire month. But there's actually going to be a multi-part year-long 20th anniversary quest series that's starting later this month on January 25th. And we'll talk more about that in our questions segment with some of our questions this week. But this party is happening at the Lumbridge Crater, and you know they got a nice little monument there set up. And I remember we had a question I think it was probably in August or something by Sunset Fish, and he asked, you know, if you were designing the 20th anniversary celebration, what would you have? One of the things I said is that it'd be nice to have, you know, a park with a bunch of statues commemorating various RuneScape events. And we actually do have statues here. We have statues going all the way back to 2001, a different statue commemorating each year. And, you know, you walk by each of these statues, and if you've been around since the beginning, you know, they're immediately apparent at what they are. And I really enjoyed this here. You know, 2007 was the Fremenic Longboat. 2008, the Summoning Obelisk. That happened earlier in the year. And then, you know, I like what they did here. The 2009 one's a giant ant. I'm not sure why they did that. 2010 is Nomad. 2011 is Nex, of course. 2012 is the Queen Black Dragon, last boss before EOC. And then 2013, Battle at Lumbridge. 2014, a year everybody remembers, is, of course, Prif. 2015, we have Tuska. And then we have to go to the back of the central podium here to find the rest of the statues on this. And, you know, I just really enjoyed walking through this. It was actually a little walk all the way down through memory lane. I don't know what 2016 was marking there. I'm going to have to go have a look at that. 2017, I think that's a year we'd like to forget, Menophos. 2018, Solak. 2019, Anachronia. And, of course, 2020 for archaeology. What did you guys think about the little presentation that was put on here in the crater this week?
I think
I've been over there.
Go ahead, Trekkie.
I haven't been over there, so okay. I haven't seen it yet. Tennis? I'll take a look at it later.
I think it's kind of one of the highlights for me, with at least the beginning of the party right now. And it was cool, like the first person, you know, like soon as you cross, you know, there's the wise old man and kind of start talking to him and stuff. But the statues and walking around, even though like I wasn't even here for the first half, I recognized a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff from doing just the quest and being around everybody. And doing
2016
and
was Telos. Of course it was, eh?
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, immediately I tried to go searching for the skilling locations. I'm sure you did the questing first.
Yeah, I did do the questing. And, you know, what you get with this is you get a 10% XP boost if you do skilling inside the crater while the event's going on. Which, I mean, it's something, but you know, you can't do your archaeology there. You can't do your farming there and whatnot. Well,
that's kind of my only, I don't want to say it's like a criticism. Well, I wish it was a little bit more. Like, I didn't think, I don't know. I just didn't feel like there was a lot.
Well, we're going to be seeing a lot more over the entire year.
Well, I meant skilling wise.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to this year because, I mean, it really is. It's a BFD. You know what that is, Shane?
Yeah.
The phrase coined by our next president. Yeah. So, I mean, I just got to say this, man. How many MMOs are 20?
Yeah, exactly. I know Star Trek Online had 10 last year, and that was a big deal. But 20 is an even bigger deal for this.
I can't. I mean, I've seriously been trying to think. And every year since I started, I have heard, RuneScape's over, man. It's done. It's totally done, man. It's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks pretty good for a dead game.
Exactly. It looks better than ever. We do have a bit of a teaser on that in the Mod Warden Wind Tumbler letter, which we'll also talk about. That conveniently came out a few days after our last episode. But also with this, they said there were 3 mini quests to complete, and you know, I found this a bit. It wasn't exactly as it said on the tin. I was expecting mini quests, you know, that would be in the quest journal kind of thing, that would be on the tune of what we had for the Halloween event, but as it turned out, the cook needs you to help bake him a cake again. And the three mini quests are to get the extra fine flour and the egg and, gosh, what was the third ingredient? I don't even remember at this point.
Well, I just got to wonder, like, the cook, that was the first quest, right? That was
cook's assistant.
Quest one. Cook's assistant. He was an assistant. It's been 20 years. This guy still hasn't figured out how to do a cake. Like, what if you were a mechanic? You still couldn't change a tire after 20 years?
No, he knows how to make the cake. He just doesn't want to go get the ingredients.
Oh, the other ingredient was the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Flour, eggs, and milk.
He's a chef. He doesn't dirty his hands over, like, pulling on the udders of a cow.
I gotta say, none of these guys do. I mean, we had to do the cheesecake. We gotta do this cake. I mean, come on, guys.
Mm. Yeah, and these were basically... And to be fair, this is what you can expect from a fetch quest in any other MMO out there. Quests and quests in RuneScape are entirely different than that. This is the basic fetch quest of any other MMO, which, you know, as we see here, doesn't even quantify for an in-game mini quest, basically, even though it could have when put it all together. So that was really my only concern with the news post that we saw this week, because, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, this is a year that we're going to be spending a lot of time on, and we're going to be looking back over the last 20 years. We already did some of that with our monthly bit, which I'll talk more about later. But, you know, you also, of course, do get, when you talk to the wise old man, you get the 20th anniversary outfit and cape, which, of course, had in Roman numerals XX for 20 years for RuneScape. So you can claim that. And, you know, I have a feeling that the party is actually just going to be beginning with this, because one of the things that was actually highlighted is that year-long quest that they're going to be embarking on, where they're going to be looking back at all the different quests that came out over the past years. It's going to be and here's what they say. They say this month you're going to see the prologue to a multi-part year-long 20th anniversary quest series. So, you know, this is kind of like Recipe for Disaster in a way. You guys remember Recipe for Disaster?
So is this what they're...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is this like the prologue?
Prologue to it. Recipe for Disaster was for 5th anniversary.
Okay.
But... Hmm. Or no, sorry, 100th quest. But... this is what they say is going to be the prologue. And, you know, I think it's worth doing a bit of introspection on this. We actually have a question from Questcaping this week on this that says, we know that part of the 20th anniversary celebration will be the Once Upon a Time, a Recipe for Disaster style quest with various subquests, each reinterpreting a past RuneScape quest. Are there any quests in particular you'd like to see get this treatment, and how?
Dennis, you want to go first?
All of them? No, not all of them. I'm going to say the fight count. I love the story and the lore around the Takar. Is that Tazar? Tazar. I always thought that was interesting, because when I was just a wee little newbie guy and I wandered into the volcano and just got crushed by one time, I was like, huh, it's kind of neat. But I like the fight kiln, and I love those wave attack type things. So I think that could be modernized. I mean, we heard David talking about AFK and fight kiln the other a few weeks ago, you know. So I'd love to see that redone, because I actually thought it was a good quest too. Actually, there was like a trilogy, wasn't it, where you did the one where you earned the obsidian shards. I can't remember what that was. It was more like a cage looking thing.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly. Okay. And, you know, interesting you choose that, because that has close relation, we would assume, to the Elder God Ful, because she created the Tazar.
Yeah. I thought about that, too. Like, especially now, given with what's going on with the Elder Gods, like, and because we found so much more about jazz through the Dragonkin and Saliske storylines, so that would make sense, and it would be cool to find out more about another one of the Elder Gods.
Okay, for me, I would. And, you know, I gotta draw attention to these because they were also mentioned in the little mini quest that we did this week. Elemental Workshop series. There was a line in the mini quest this week where your character says, Elemental Workshop 5? Question mark, exclamation point? In terms of puzzles that people always pull their hair out. And they also mentioned, what about a light puzzle in a temple without a guide? But to answer the question, I think you got to look to the big keystone moments on this one. And I think what you got to do is you got to have some kind of summary in there of the plague arc resulting in Prif. I also think you got to have some kind of summary in there in the desert arc resulting in Menaphos. And I think you also have to have some other kind of arc in there focused around your character that's around the third act, so to speak, when, you know, in most films and plays, you see that the third act is when you're at your lowest and you don't know if you're going to be able to push forward on that and actually recover the plot. The third act could, of course, revolve around your character and everything that we've been trying to do. Pushing forward from the World Wakes and through the Sixth Age. And then, you know, we try and resolve things last minute, and then bam, we got the Elder Gods right in our face. So effectively, I'd like to see something focusing on the World Guardian as well in the Sixth Age storyline. And, you know, maybe just have one segment as well that's full of comic relief where you can put all those other little, you know, off-the-cuff quests here and there, like the bacon quest, like the cabbage quest.
Oh, bacon.
Like,
Bacon.
It's bacon. You remember that episode?
Yeah,
Shane?
I remember that one. You had fun with
it's
that.
It's bacon. I was totally on board. I was having so much fun with that episode.
Yeah,
I was losing my mind. Whatever little rain cells I had left that day, all went into bacon.
But yeah, that's how I'd split it apart. I'd split it into four things. So to recap, you know, focus on the key areas like Prif. And the journey to that, the desert journey, your World Guardian journey, and then, you know, just have a couple along the way for lightheartedness as well that, you know, you could kind of maybe throw into some kind of weird little comic routine in there. How about you, Trekkie?
If we were to do this, like one giant quest with, like, mini quests in it.
Yeah, that reinterpret past quests.
I say either Legends or Desert Treasure, because at that time those two were hard. Like when at my level at the time when we were doing it, those were hard. I was like beating Legends back when I was like Wii level 60 or whatever it was at the time. I was like, this quest was hard. Well, you did it.
Yeah, and you know what the fun reward was for Legends at the end of the day was the ability to purchase the other half of the half shield and Shadow Warriors.
Yeah,
and the totem is what. What's the big deal for me was, I mean, because it was, this is pre-Lodestone, so
right.
You were using combat bracelets and skills bracelets to get around and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and Legends Cape was the best cape in the game before all the ceiling capes came out.
Yeah, so much so that it's, like, that's the only one you can put in your house in it. Well, not the, I think there's one other one, I can't remember what it is, but.
Yeah, could you imagine people...
Like frame your legend cape.
Right, could you imagine people framing their max capes and whatnot?
I would.
I would.
Buy another one. Let's buy another one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's going to be important to do this. And what I see with this is that they say it's a multi-part year-long quest. And, you know, I think what this telegraphs to us is that, you know, multi-part... I think that implies you're going to have more than two parts with that. And, you know, if you're doing at least three or four of these, you can throw in another two little mid-sized quests here and there and maybe one epic quest. And then with that, we're up to six, seven quests this year, potentially.
Or it could be like, oh, we should do a big old giant quest And then they realized, we can't finish this all in time for January because, don't smack us with the whip. And I was like, oh, which then we just release it in multiple parts. That's a great idea, boss. Yeah, boss, that's a great idea.
Well, the interesting thing, though, if this works, then we might be able to see more impactful stories that don't have to stretch over several years, like a sixth age or something.
Yeah.
You could actually have a big story that's done through a series of quests that's contained within a year. You know what I mean? And maybe this is a test for that. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, Recipe for Disaster was 10 quests all in one.
But it was all at once, right?
All at once, exactly.
At least when I played it, it was all at once. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you could do the same thing today, or you could, you know, employ modern storytelling and realize that, you know, maybe we should, you know, roll this out over the span of, you know, 3 or 4 months instead. And then you got a, you know, a general trickle of content and you can put focus on each one and the characters on each one as well. And, you know, looking at this and everything we got with this, I think it's going to be a much better way of telling the story than just, you know, hoisting it all on us at once.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing about RuneScape players. Sometimes you have to save us from ourselves. And that does include questers, too. If you give questers 10 quests to do at once, they'll be done
in the week.
That's what I'm saying. This, I mean, you know, they're the same as the rest of us. So, like, I think it's better to just, you know, spread it out, you know, have a little bit of space in between. Because otherwise, we'll eat it up. We can't stop. You can't eat just one. Got to have more.
Yeah. And in regards to the how, I guess, I think what you could do is that I don't want to say to cop out and, you know, say that it's going to be kind of like a movie version of the quest, so to speak. Somebody is writing a book about recent events in RuneScape history. I think that'd be really boring, but that's the only idea I have of how you'd pull off this kind of 20th anniversary retelling of quests, so to speak.
Well, who knows? I mean, look at the Gower quest. That was a very unique experience.
Lots of fourth wall breaking.
Yeah. Lots. I guess I could see that. That they would have to find a really compelling storyteller or some way to tell that story to make it interesting.
Yeah, and I think time travel's off the table.
If it was like that. Oh, God, I hope so. I am not a fan of time travel stuff. That's like, time travel is like, let's fix it with magic. Why'd that happen? Magic. Time travel. Like, I don't know. I don't want it.
Yeah.
They could go back. Well, what if it was just slightly twisted, like Dimension of the Dam? Or not Dimension of the Dams. New Varrock. Oh, God. See what that thing did to me? I got PTSD. But no, like a New Varrock, you know how it was just slightly kind of twisted? Like, what if it was 20 years of slightly twisted?
And you're trying to repair events to it, or what? Like, what would be the frame on that?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess I was thinking like an alternate dimension, but
yeah, they've kind of already done that. I wonder if they'd want to do that again. I don't know.
Spitballing here.
Yeah, thank you.
Where's the whiteboard when you need it?
Yeah, exactly. We need to call Mod Jack into that. Thank you, Questscaping, for that question. 20th anniversary merchandise is also available for pre-order. Most of it will start shipping in March. New items include a new 20th anniversary collectible pin set, There's also a 20th anniversary tutorial island pin, which is, reminiscent of where we all started, most of us at least. There's also mining and smithing skill cape key rings and a new...
No sailing.
And a new gold vinyl pressed version of the original Soundtrack Classics album for those who collect vinyls.
And this is pre-order. Cool.
Yeah, they're all pre-order. They'll be shipping in March. They also got Avatar of Creation and Destruction. They have a RuneScape Classic logo pin as well that you can purchase with this. I thought one of these was gold, but I only see the silver one. That's interesting. There's a Bronze Knight pin.
I like that one. That was neat.
Yeah, it's that classic, RuneScape 2 style of armor. And, I think what this says to everybody out there is that if you look back at the art style for this game, when you think of armor, this is what is going to come into mind. That's the kind of armor that we all imagined. So, I like that.
Okay.
Jen. But, Tanis, you looking at any of these on here?
Jen.
Not really. Okay. I don't collect vinyl, and
yeah,
neat. The map of Glenor coaster set.
Oh, whoa! Now that
that's neat.
I was just looking for
even has its own little pouch.
Oh, you were looking for a coaster set. Where do you see a coaster?
No, I actually was.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's right there, Trekkie. That apparently has been around for a while. Interesting. Huh.
Hey, I don't...
That's a fun one. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, you can buy that now. You don't have to pre-order.
Yeah, that's... No, for real, because I was literally on Amazon looking for, like... Because I needed a drink coaster for my desk. Like, yeah, so it's...
That's cool. You're whipped. Coaster.
But anyways... Yeah. Head on over to the merch store if any of these sound interesting. Some of them start shipping January. Some of them start shipping March. But it is a good time, of course, to be celebrating the past 20 years of RuneScape. All right. Of course, it wouldn't be an episode of RSBNB Update without patch notes. And we do have some of those for this year. And this is something I was wondering when Violet Was Blue 2 came out. And the Fairy Light Whip and Necklace can now both be worn as cosmetic overrides once you've completed the quest. And I like this because, it's effectively a whip with Christmas lights on it. And if you're using that kind of weapon as your main-handed weapon, you can use this as an override. And you don't need to waste a bond on it. So I think this is a really good thing that they did. We'll have to remember this for next Christmas.
Yeah, I had the same question at the time. I'm like,
this. Yeah. And I almost wasted a bond on this, but I got sidetracked. So I'm glad I waited. Mobile users can now read the titles of the colored books while rearranging them during the Broken Home quest. Yeah, you kind of need to be able to do that to sort things. Fixed an alignment inconsistency between bot and sold text on the GE history. UI for both Space Dust and Meteorites will now display properly. More mobile fixes. The flags on the friends list now appear in line with the text. And, the friends list is actually a bit more spaced out now. And I was actually able to successfully pick up people's names on this and click the right people when I wanted to send the message to them. So not only did we get an alignment issue on the flags, we also got a nice usability issue on the mobile friends list with this. So that's much appreciated. Minor. Go ahead.
One thing I wish they would fix, though. I wish they would fix the Citadel with the summoning obelisk. The light on that thing is way too bright.
On mobile?
Uh-huh. On mobile.
Send it in as a bug. They're very responsive to these mobile bugs I've found.
It's been like that for more than a year.
Hmm.
I've never read that before. Maybe they just can't fix it right now or whatever the case is. But I know I'm pretty sure I can turn down contrast and everything else, but it's like, when I say bright, the only reason is that if you have the one that you're supposed to be like charging off for yourself, you can't really see it. Unless you really like zoom in. So when I'm kind of zoomed out like I do on my computer, it's completely different.
Minor Magnus's chat will no longer loop after choosing a particular dialogue prompt on mobile. And then just a couple of little typos. Typo fixed regarding the duration of the immortality defense ability tooltip. Magical Jingle Bells will no longer direct you to the wrong floor during the present hunt Yak Track task. And players who previously owned snowboards from the 2017 event can once again claim them from Diango. And there's your first patch notes for 2021.
They're forgetting the sled.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a cosmetic sled, I think.
Because we had a sled. I wonder if I still have it in my bank. Because we had a sled for one of the quests, and we did it once, but that quest was cool. And then you actually go back there just to go sledding. I was like, yay!
Yeah, that sled is actually the icon I use for my quest items tab in my bank.
Uh-huh. And the thing is that, like, what was it? You used it once for that quest, and then you never did it again. But I think at that time, Shane, you and I made so many stupid RS Christmas C E cards with the sled, and us like sliding off and everything else during that time frame.
Yeah,
it was like, come on, so we have a sled. Use it.
And I think the unfortunate part is that if you went back there, that's an area that hasn't been updated. I don't know how that would look on NXT. So, but you know, Christmas might be over, but we do have a letter from Maud Warden that arrived a few days after the last recording of 2020. And, you know, there's some fun things in here. There's a recap of everything that was done in 2020, including archaeology, the Steam launch, the 50 updates they shipped out, you know, despite everything that was going on that year. 94% positive rating over the last 30 days on the Steam store for RuneScape, but they also talked about the Gilenorian giving campaign and the drop. They were able to donate over £100,000 to their mental health charity partners of You Are Rad, the Princess Trust, and CPSL Mind. And that combined with the events for Mental Health Awareness Week and World Health or World Mental Health Day, they were able to donate over £330 to the increasingly important mental health support network for vulnerable people across the globe, as well as £26,000 for their friends at Special Effect for the one special day event that occurred in 2020. I bet you feel great about that, Tennis.
I feel great about all of this because, I mean, keep in mind, this was a hard year for a lot of organizations like that. I mean, it's been a hard year for everybody. But, you know, those organizations a lot of times can feel the pain too.
Oh, yeah, more than.
Because everyone has to tighten their belts. Yeah. You can't give if you don't have. And so it was really nice to see that Jagex stepped in and helped raise some serious money.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good. Everybody pat yourselves on the back. But, you know, as with these end-of-year letters, there's an opportunity to look forward as well. And a couple of key points from this. In 2021, the RuneScape development team will continue to grow. They're going to keep doing holiday events, monthly headlining content drops, Yak Tracks, and bi-monthly Ninja Strikes. And the impact of team growth is also going to be most evident in how they approach Elder God Wars dungeon. In particular, instead of just one moment to experience the Elder God Wars content, they've found several ways to be a dominant story arc throughout the year. And they say this will stretch across a variety of content types, including the dungeon itself. And this is an epic war years in the making, and it will all come to a head this year in 2021 in this posting. So we had archaeology as our theme last year. Do you think our theme this year is going to be 20th anniversary or Elder God Wars?
I don't know.
Because you saw, Tannis, how much we were able to get off archaeology.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it depends. Well, if it's only one quest, but wrapping up the Elder God.
Well, it's going to be multiple quests forming the basis of a bigger quest. But the Elder God Wars dungeon is a PVM experience, and they've said it's going to be different than the past two God Wars dungeons. So keep that in mind, too, as we move forward, everyone.
Is that God War Dungeon 3 coming out?
Yeah, that's basically what this is going to be.
I still haven't even done God War Dungeon 2. I keep putting that on my bucket list to like learn bossing, but I keep too lazy.
I don't know.
It might.
How do you feel? The part that I'm being held back by is I don't know if I personally can jump up and down around a PVM themed focus thing unless there's, you know, ways for us people at our level to get into it.
Yeah, well, and it.
If you were to do that, it's kind of like the mole. That's like a mid.
Well, it would just have to be like, I don't think they can go higher mechanically than, I mean, maybe a little bit, but not much more than a God Wars
Dungeon 2.
Yeah, because I think it just make it too inaccessible. It's too big of a piece of content to make it exclusive to, you know.
The Davids of the world.
It'll have
David's
to be
a resident PVM expert.
That being said, I'm sure there would be, you know, hard modes, this and that. What I'm curious about, though, is that could be broken up over a year. And what if there were quest story aspects? I mean,
skilling related things.
They're adding lore and story into everything they do. So, like, what if that opens up over time and it's finishing that Elder God storyline?
Yeah, that could be too. I mean, we could just be doing lore digger stuff on the Elder Gods this year. Who knows, right?
It's possible, yeah. Which I could dig it.
I could get around that. And, you know, this is probably what they meant by dig deep. War is coming. With archaeology, remember?
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
There's something else that was also in this letter. And this got everybody talking. We got a glimpse at a concept, underscoring concept, of a reworked player model. Oh, boy. You and I knew they were going to do something like this. It only made sense to, right? We knew something like this had to be on the way at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talked to a lot of people about this. I talked to people who play every day. I talked to people who are inactive. I talked to people who have quit. They said that the people who have quit or are inactive said that, yeah, this looks like a modern progression for RuneScape. The thing that I had to underscore to everybody who was talking about it, especially people who were concerned about it performance-wise and whatnot, is that what we're seeing here is, of course, going to be rendered by your graphics card. And what you see in these pictures are effectively clay sculpts, meaning that this isn't what it's going to look like in-game. This is just an example of the kind of detail that they're aiming towards on this. And, you know, looking at this, it took a few days for me because RuneScape has always been that game that's been kind of low fidelity, right, in terms of the visual models of the players, at least. And there's so many models in-game that are so high detail, but the player model has always been the one that's low fidelity. And it's like, okay, if you're going to do this, what other options are going to be available with this? Are you going to be able to change the hairstyles? Are we going to have new hair in game? Like, are you just going to put the hair that we have right now on top of this? Or is there going to be an entirely new hair system as well? Are you going to be able to change the eye color? Are you going to be able to change the lip color, the eyebrow color? You get where I'm going with this, right?
Give my player avatar chicken pox.
But, I mean, now, I mean, think about it this way. So I immediately loved it, right? And I don't know why I didn't. For some reason, like, I didn't understand like the pushback, because there's some pushback. I'm like, why? Like, even at this.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to understand as well, because I didn't feel okay about it. And then it wasn't until, you know, I told myself 3 or 4 times that this is a concept. It's a concept, not what it's actually going to look like in game.
Right, and I mean, I was, you know, like I said, I was for this because I'm for the higher amount of detail. Because look, if people want an end to some of the monetization methods that are in game, and they really want this costume only, then you have to move in this direction to have that. Because what I could foresee is they're going to let everybody redo your character, you know, adapt your character. But then it might be like some other games where it's like, okay, but if you want to redo it, you purchase a ticket. Redo ticket.
A costume reskin token. Say you might get 2 of them for the price of 1 bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, you cannot have it both ways. You can't. Not in this case. And what's the harm in making the game look good? If you want your simple stuff, there is an alternative for you. There is. But I want, this is 20 years old. I want it to look hot at, you know,
you want to look hot?
40 years old. Yeah, I want to look hot.
Yeah, and you know,
so, I don't know. I probably stirred the pot for the week, but
yeah, and that's fine. And he says over the next year, we'll start to deliver an evolving series of improvements to how the World Guardian is represented in game. This is a very complex project with many steps, and we'll be involving you regularly throughout development as we work to get the look of the avatar just right. And you can expect to hear more early next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, this will be years in the making.
Yeah.
For sure. I have no doubt whatsoever. Because I'm sure it is a very big undertaking. But I think it's an undertaking that they would probably be willing to do. Because it could be a good thing in the end for them.
And it all makes sense now.
Make good business sense then.
It all makes sense now. Do you remember on the Mod Warden episode, I asked him, what do you see RuneScape as? He sees it as a digital community centered around the player avatar. And it was that comment when I was looking through our clip show stuff combined with this concept art that it clicked for me.
Yeah. That's cool.
And we even had, you know, and I want to say, like, we have suspected that for a long time. Just because looking at other games, looking at some of the places, specifically Mod Warden had been.
Overwatch?
We had a sneaking suspicion that this might come into play at some point. And like I said, I mean, I support it. I don't want to get into a quagmire of just, you know, delay. That being said, yeah, I would be surprised if it comes in under 2 years even. But I am for it.
Yay!
Yeah, and I think we also need to underscore that these are effectively clay sculpts. And, you know, you underscore that this is not how it's going to look in the game, so to speak. It's going to, you know, feel as though it's part of the game. And I think one thing that's really unnerving to this when you look at this is these things don't have hair yet.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't bothered by that really. Like, I wasn't bothered by those pictures that much just because, like you said, they're concepts. But, like, if you're centering the game, like, if this is going to be such a big deal, you are not going to mess that up. This is not going to be a new quest cape situation,
no.
Guys. Or, I mean, a new skill cape situation. It won't be. I can promise
you. I think
you
if you make it look flashy enough, you'll have everybody on board.
Well, yeah, and we've seen examples of that, right? Like, even just giving us a good hard like concept art of what the complicated quest capes would, or I keep saying quest capes, the complicated comp capes would have been, was the thing that like changed a lot of people's minds. They're like, oh, okay. Well, not changed their minds, but made them okay.
And when you see these characters adorned with what you're going to be wearing on them and how they're going to look in game, that'll sell people right away.
Yeah.
Right, because if the game doesn't appeal to you when you first look at it, you ain't gonna stay around to play it, to enjoy it.
Yeah.
True.
And I think, like we said, anybody who has a doubt, just wait and see what this looks like with all of the adornments. But this is the path to go forward, because you can't have a game with an avatar from 2008. It's that simple. It's that simple. And, you know, I think we also just need to address one tiny other thing that he mentioned with this. And, you know, this is something people have always, you know, looked out for. At the end of that, he said, just make sure you keep holding on to those party hats. You never know when they may be worth something.
I love it.
And this, you know, spawned CM to actually have to say something. No, no, we're not adding any new party hats. We're not doing anything to party hats. It's just something that Mud Warden said, as, you know, you sometimes get New Year's party hats out of Christmas crackers.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Well, I was, okay. I thought it was like a kind of a little bit of snark. I was loving it. I was like, oh, go give me some snark. Yes. Because, well, have you been following stuff, Shane, with like the upheaval and party hat stuff and the PVM?
No, some I haven't. PVM
guys. Oh my god! Okay, well, let's just say there have been videos made about, oh my god, the price of party hats. You can't even do PVM and earn a party hat anymore by doing TELUS, where you make 60 mil an hour, and you can't do it. No, I'm serious. I've seen a video like that. And you know, and I'm over here with my two little fingers playing the world's smallest violin. Like, so when I saw him say that, I was like, ooh, snark. because something like the blue one is like 100.
Yeah.
Some bill at this point. Like, really, the only way you're getting something like that, like, it's now in the hands of the stakers. So it's. It's just hilarious. I think it's hilarious.
All right.
I was like, oh, now you know how the skillers feel, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that sucks, doesn't it? You mean you can't play enough? There's not enough hours in the day, no matter what you do, the way you like to play, to buy something you want? Oh, yeah, that sucks, man. Sorry.
Hold on to your hats, folks. Hold on to your hats. Also this week we had a live stream. A bumper crop of a live stream. We had Mod JD hosting with mods Raven, Jack, and Timbo in the first hour, and then mods Osborne and Mark in the second hour, just reliving everything of past RuneScape years. And you know, this is something you definitely want to watch, and you know, have a bit of a listen to on this one. I really enjoyed this.
You know. That is too much person. That's why they had to split up. That's too much personality to have on one show.
Yeah.
One live stream. You can't do that.
No. And I'll just run through some of these, go relatively quickly. They first asked when they all started working there. Mod Raven started 13 years ago. Mod Jack, 10 years ago. Mod Timbo started in 2008 on a summer placement program. And, you know, these guys are the veterans, people who have become the faces of RuneScape. And like we always say, if you want to hear something, if you want to hear the truth about something in game, you go to Mod Jack. You might not like what he has to say, but he'll give it to you straight.
He'll give it to you straight.
But he may not know Jack.
No, I think he does.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Yeah, that's fine. How have the roles at the company changed over the years? For Jack, he said he's jumped between different places and teams, but one of the biggest changes over all time has been the ability to work on multiple different streams or branches of the game and then merge them all together. previously everybody would be working on the same stream or branch of the code. So just to put this in perspective of what this means is that if you're developing a quest that interacts with the area of Lumbridge, but somebody is making bug fixes or updates to Lumbridge in general, there's a very good chance that you could break each other's work the way it was set up before. And that's something that they've worked to rectify over the years. And
well, no wonder they're breaking things all the time.
Yeah, and you know, looking back, it makes sense why some of the things that happened did, knowing this. And you know, it's just inertia that you can't change. You can't change a huge game like that.
Yeah.
Huh. Also, they asked, of course, is there a piece of content you hold deeply in your heart? And Mod Jax had one piercing note. He thinks it's a genuine piece of art. That was the quest that really started RuneScape Audio, I think.
Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, it was a whole experience. Like, that was the most immersive I think RuneScape's had ever been up to that point, and still it's one of the most immersive quests there is.
Montimbo said Ritual of the Monjerot, and you know, the whole culmination of Lucian's storyline. He didn't work on those, but if he had to pick two things that he did work on, archaeology and the luck rework.
Okay.
Because archaeology was his design, of course, and you know, we just, that was perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Mod Raven also said one piercing note.
Yeah.
And he said the player owned farm.
That makes sense. I mean, that was his baby.
Yeah, and of course, numerous times he's also played Granny in prehistoric Granny Potterington.
Can you forget that?
His insights into the farm are really quite something. At RuneFest 2018, this is a month and a bit after the farm came out, we were able to hold his attention in the lineup going into the place for about 25, 30 minutes or so. And the bunch of us had a really interesting discussion with him about the farm. So that would have been that was fun. That was fun. Mod Raven initially, tell me who this reminds you of. Mod Raven initially tried to kill Hans in Kindred Spirits. Mod Raven has also tried to have NPCs tortured before, even going so far to design the torture implements and getting ready to put them in game. But Mod Osborne vetoed all of that.
Way to go, Shane. Way to go.
I think we found my spirit, J-Mod.
Yeah, I mean, Definitely the one responsible probably for all the torturing, 24 style during Birthright of the Dwarves.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
Remember?
You watched
24? Your little torture quest.
You watched 24?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought we almost had to call Jack Bauer in yesterday.
Oh, jeez. Well, who knows? He might have been there.
Oh, God. I love what Mod Raven had to say about that. As for things that they've designed but didn't get into the game, Mod Timbo spent 6 months redesigning the Taibo Wanai cleanup event, but that never made it into game.
Oh, man.
That's a little distraction and diversion thing that came out in 2005 on Kiramja. And, you know, we always said that needed a bit of a rework, and it was kind of clunky content-wise, so nice to know that Timbo thought so. It just never made its way onto the schedule.
Yeah.
Someone also asked, do you ever go back to your old coding and think, why? And, you know, this is something everybody who writes code does. Mod Raven said that the Framenic Sagas has a comment at the top that says, sorry. And, you know, you know what the Framenic Sagas are, right? That dungeoneering style content. And you know, I'm not sure if they were apologizing to the people who are going to have to read the code or people who had to play that. I personally still think here, I just finished them all last year, that that's some of the worst aged content in the game, honestly.
They were very ugly and very clunky, but I mean the concepts were cool.
Yeah.
Like I like the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, clunky.
Borrowed Power is also reportedly bad in terms of the way they had to script that one. That's that spell in the Lunar Spell book. Mod Timbo said that as a game balancer, he has very limited RuneScript knowledge, the scripting language they use to, you know, put everything into game. And he actually sent some very, very strange luck rework code out that he didn't know if it was going to work, but it actually made its way into the game and it worked just fine. And the ninjas actually refactored that and were like, what the hell were you doing with that? So I think he said Mod Aerator fixed that up last year at some point.
When in doubt, brazen it out.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the Dungeoneering runecrafting bug?
Yes, yeah, so we got like 99 runecrafting in like 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened because JMod, who was they didn't name, had a lot of unnamed variables on a single line of code with lots of nested parentheses, and the entire formula for this runecrafting stuff and Dungeoneering was crammed in onto a single line, and this resulted in an off by 10 magnitude error that allowed people to get so much runecrafting XP in Dungeoneering.
You know, my favorite bug that I kind of hit myself for missing out on?
What's that?
The Ring All Well Dragon Boots.
Oh, I remember that one, where it would always give dragon boots, right?
Right, and here's the thing. I just got the Ring of Wealth that day, and I was going to do Slayer. And it actually gave me Spiritual Wizard, or whatever they're called.
Spiritual Mages.
Yeah, Spiritual Mages. And I canceled the task, and I don't feel like doing Mages right now. So I canceled it and did something else, and then later on I was like, what?
But you would have had to give them back, because it was a bug.
But I didn't know it was a bug. I would have thought I got super lucky. I don't think they did a rollback, did they?
I don't know.
I don't think they did for that one.
I don't know. And they did say that this Dungeoneering off by 10 magnitude error was one of the few times that they did do a rollback. Now, this next question was related to this. Have you ever slipped in a secret into game that the higher-ups didn't notice and... apparently, nobody knew about Hazelmere's Signet Ring on release.
Well, no one knew about it for quite a while because it didn't show up.
Yeah, and Mod Timbo said that perhaps he made the drop rate on that a little bit too rare. But they said as for, you know, Jagex knowing about things and having JMod slip things in that weren't supposed to be in there, he said, no, that... they don't think that's ever happened. Also, Heimcrap memes after the release of Dungeoneering, Mod Jack mentioned. You guys remember those? Heimland games and all the different Heimcrabs and the Christmas stuff that year.
Oh, the crabs. Yes.
They made
vaguely.
They, for some reason, made an effort to have lots of things focused around Heimcrabs that year. That, you know, people, nobody understood why, but it's just there. All right.
Okay.
Now, here's one that our Lore Diggers panel would love to hear. Who is a character that you wanted to give more content to? Mod Timbo said the Barrows Brothers. And Mod Raven said Armadyl with the Rite of Passage quest. The quest that shall not be named.
Oh, we have both. Why do we have to pick? It's a Sophie's choice.
Yeah, and you know, Rite of Passage is something that's always talked about, but it's just one of those quests that they'd have to bring it into the Sixth Age somehow, and I don't know.
But we could do it. They could do it now. We got our flight suit.
Yeah, Yeah, they
Let's
could
go.
They could have a tie into archaeology, you know?
Yeah, we could go to the home world and we got our wings.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That would have been fun. How has story writing changed over the years? They said in the beginning people would write their own individual storylines. And you know this is true. You had the Xanax storyline, you had the vampire storyline, you had the plague storyline, and so on and so forth. And the world as a whole, they said, was a bit weird. And that's how you end up with things like King Arthur and Camelot in RuneScape. But they're actually quite happier now with the unified narrative direction that they're taking. And that stories are told not just through quests.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think people relish the days where we were having quests come out left, right, and center at various different storylines, but there's also something to be gained from having a singular narrative direction, I feel, which is good.
Well, I mean, it feels too disjointed otherwise. It's totally fine to have a, you know, like a whimsical, classic, Jagex humor quest or something. You know what I mean? Like, not everything has to be heavy, but you don't need to start in another story. Another storyline, you know what I mean? Like, multi-part storyline. You could just bottle quest it and still get the same effect, I think, that you got back then by having a large variety.
Yeah. Then we headed into the era of office pranks.
I was reading that. I was laughing. That was funny.
Maud Toom, who worked on the mining and smithing rework with Jack, bought a label printer and printed, Have you heard about the mining and smithing rework? And then stuck those labels on everything that Maud Jack owned.
No, at least we know he knows how we felt. That's great.
They also used to have lots of office Nerf gun fights.
Oh, that would be cool.
But they had to be outlawed.
Whoa.
Because they became such a distraction and work was actually stopped at points. And they got to a point of knowing which Nerf guns would actually hurt when the bullets were shot at you. Also, there have been pranks made of wrapping PCs and chairs in tin foil or plastic wrap. Also, because the computers are lined up back and forth to each other, sometimes they would swap mouse and keyboard so you'd be controlling somebody else's keyboard or computer.
That's hilarious.
That happened in elementary school for me. The class beforehand would like switch the mouse and we're like, how come it's not working? And they realize, oh.
Amazing. Maud Raven also recalls a story once of lying on the floor dressed as a penguin for a video. And as, you know, they were getting ready to shoot, someone just came by and, you know, stepped right over him. And it was like nothing because, you know, that's typical things that would happen. Maud Jack also recalled once calling for the elevator, and when the elevator door opened up, there was a giant dinosaur in there, somebody in a dinosaur suit, so he just grabbed the next one. Obviously for the Anachronia stuff.
Take me back to ports.
Just another day at Jack XHQ.
Yeah, surprising nobody mentioned the ports song as well with that. Next one, what was your favorite thing that's been removed from the game? Maud Jack answered the Romeo and Juliet quest. And there was really
ain't too much been removed from this game.
Yeah, and that's the thing why there was very few answers on this is that not much was actually removed. So now, as for community memories, this is where most of the discussion happened, and you know, a lot of them actually said the first RuneFest because the company at the time was so humble and they didn't even know if players were going to enjoy the experience that they actually refunded everybody's ticket price at that first RuneFest. And there was also a RuneFest where once Raven was asked what he would do if he would take over the world, and you know, he had to come up with a different thing for each person who would ask. He's also had, of course, people trying to outdo his evil laugh, but a lot of the community memories for these guys comes back to various RuneFests, which you know makes sense because that's the easiest and most surefire way to interact with somebody in the community. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Someday when we can travel again, I'm coming. I'm coming, UK.
There is also stories from Mod JD. You know, he was once acting as a producer behind the scenes for RuneFest, and he wound up himself on a JMod Find the JMod list. And he recalled that it took him 45 minutes to go to the bathroom because he had to move from his production area, and he was just getting so many questions along the way that it took that a bathroom visit took 45 minutes.
Well, at least he could hold it in.
Yeah, he said it was a good exercise for that. And for Mod Timbo, always the RuneFest night before parties at Namco when they held them there. So there we have it. That was the Q&A with these people. And, you know, like you said, huge personalities there. Did anything surprise you guys from what you heard on this?
Not really.
Yeah, I think most of it makes sense, and we knew that kind of internal humor and internal prank culture kind of existed before. So I enjoyed hearing about this. But
yeah, it was cool.
What was that, Tanis?
I just said it was cool.
Yeah. The next hour was Mod Osborne and Mod Mark, two of the relics. You know, we have our relics here at Update, but they also have those too. In Mod Mark's introduction, he said he's currently a creative director. Started in 2003 with customer support, and when he joined, this is just dating how long ago this was. They had just launched the Gnome Ball game up in the Gnome Lands.
The Gnome Ball.
Yeah, nobody really plays that anymore, but I think we all go there for clue scrolls and whatnot. And there were lots of fun stories in this segment. He said he started off at customer support, moved into QA, then to the content team, then became a lead designer and then design director. And next month we'll see his 18-year anniversary at the company.
Wow.
Mod Osborne has been around for 15 years, and he arrived the week after the Falador Massacre.
Ah, yes. Oh. The Falador Massacre. That was a PR nightmare.
It was. It really was. And, you know, he started off, and we knew this, he started off writing a web content team, or writing quest guides for the web content team. And it's just been a gradual incline for him to become lead designer. But, you know, getting into the actual questions here in terms of content that has gone into the game, this was actually a really harsh one. And I was surprised to see this on this Q&A. Is there any content that should be removed from the game today, according to these people? And, you know, they were allowed to be asked this. And, Tanis, I don't know if you're going to fall off your chair for this one, so brace yourself. You ready?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Mod Mark said the hunter skill.
Well,
completely remove it.
Yeah.
Damn. What did he say?
He said that when Hunter came out, that was a dark time. He didn't agree with the design ambitions for the content, and he didn't get as involved in the design as he did with the other content.
Well,
so who overruled
him? Can't say he's wrong.
Well, I mean, obviously he didn't get overruled. It was just something that they decided to put in. And it's interesting because we were just discussing not too long ago that it's like, what space does Hunter have?
Mm-hmm. definitely sticks out.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, in the space that it does have, it has been created for it, like, since the fact, like, later. At the time, the way I understand it.
Right, but you could still play RS today for most everything except the Anachronia stuff without the Hunter skill.
Oh, yeah, I mean, completely. I mean, I'm sure that, like, skill choppas could be replaced with some other kind of an item and gotten some other way, and then you wouldn't really need Hunter at all.
Yeah. As for Mod Osborne, he said Elite Dungeons, but he's been proven wrong on that. He didn't think it was content that should have went into the game.
Really?
Yeah. He said it's very nice to have been proven wrong on this. And if he had his way and made the complete choice on this, they wouldn't have put the first elite dungeon in.
Mm.
And we know how popular that
is. That's interesting.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because you know, we've said it on the show many, many times, but the elite dungeons are kind of that...
classic raid.
I mean,
raid.
They're kind of that classic raid, yes. So... Oh, that's kind of weird. I mean, because it's not like they're void of story either. I mean, I know Mod Osborne loves the story, but it's not like they're devoid of that.
They got lore book.
Tell a big story. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, very two surprising answers to that one. And, you know, they also said that a lot of the early content that was released hinged on engine work that needed to be done to the game engine underneath. And without that, they couldn't make the content possible. And examples of this are things like Big Jumpy Bird Hunting or the Taibo Wani Cleanup or Dwarf Cannons. And they were effectively forcing the game to do things that it wasn't meant to do. And it was all being hacked together. And they were just too far into the project to cancel it. And they just had to find a way to make it work, either by changing the design or just ramming it through. And apparently this caused great distress to Andrew Gower.
Huh.
So lots of revealing stuff in this, and it keeps going and going on here. Then here is a great question. Again, what is your favorite and least favorite quest? Now, they didn't answer what the least favorite quests were. They just answered what their favorites were. Mod Osborne said one piercing note.
Yeah.
He said, of course, he was the guy known for massively changing designs and marking it all up with red ink and whatnot, and he only changed one or two things for one piercing note, and he still sees it today, one piercing note, as an example quest, as a well-designed quest. Which I think makes sense because it's telling a story. It's using elements within the environment to do it. And one of those elements is, of course, the music. And we talked about that before, too.
Yeah, no, it's a great quest. And look, I mean, are there any other quests on, you know, what's her name? If I were to say her name, you know, that thing with the name?
That should not be named?
Uh-huh.
What quest are you thinking of? Just spit it out.
No, it's one piercing note. You can listen to that quest on this device.
Oh, yeah, the A word.
It's the only quest you can do that with, right?
The A word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, they also said that this was a whole design to get people to turn their audio on. Yet again, because nobody played with audio at the time. There was also, for Mod Mark, the Troll Quest, the My Arm Quest, and the Carnelian Rising Quest. And he just loves the First Desert Quests as to one... Or sorry, he doesn't love the... Or he does love the First Desert Quest because, you know, they're not really good quests, but the goal at the time was just to have a month worth of content from a specific theme. And this was Desert Month. And I remember that. And it went off really well for us here. So,
cool.
I really like this question. Go ahead.
Okay, jumping onto this little bandwagon. So, Shane, what is your favorite and what is your least favorite quest?
My favorite is the Elemental Workshop series, probably.
Okay, what's your least favorite?
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to put something on that.
I can.
Okay.
Okay. My favorite quest, one of my favorite quests is me turning up into the World Guardian, because that just changed the ball. That just changed the game for you as a player, as a character. Yep.
Okay.
Because you were a normal adventurer going about. Now you're the World Guardian. It's like, oh, I got to do stuff now. I got to go save the world. And every decision you make from then on actually will affect, well, hopefully affect everything that happens in the future.
Right. And, you know, I could also throw the Plague series in there because that was just so good, too, as well for favorites. What about you, Tanis, for answering this question?
I would say my favorite has to be Plague's End, because you kick in the door and pull a Sam Jackson, say it again, Warner, say it again, say what again. Love it. That was my favorite. My least favorite, it's a tie probably between...
I know my
which little one, workshop. Which one was the one with the tree that you had to ask for help with?
That was bad. I mean, that was The Light Within, but the one that was worse than that was the heist quest. What was that?
Right,
that
and you're talking from an accessibility standpoint.
Yeah. That was worse for me. But just as a pain in the ass quest, I would go with one small favorite element.
Yes. My least favorite. Yes. I still hate that quest of the passion. All that for a stupid little thing that I don't remember what it was. I completely drowned that memory from my mind. Oh, what did we get out of all that? A key ring.
Woo!
And what's sad? You know what's sad?
No,
that key ring. No, the key ring now goes through your belt, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. There you go.
And then these guys were asked, do you get recognized on the streets? Osborne said it only happened twice. Once he was at the barbershop where he was mistaken for Maud Kelpie, and the second time was at a boot fair, whatever the heck that is. And I looked that up, and apparently in the UK it's a thing to gather in an area and then have sales out of the boot of your car. Like the trunk of your car.
A swap meet, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark said it happens all the time. He shared a story where he was on the train to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and he was spotted, and somebody wanted to actually sit with him and chat with him, but he didn't do that because he was slated to catch up with his sister that weekend, and she was on the train with him. It also happened numerous times in the following days at the festival, and the end result resulted in a queue where Mark was being asked to sign things for these people. He had his own little festival going on within the festival. And, you know, at the end he was – and he actually said this on stream. And he's like, what the F are you doing? And he actually didn't say what the F. He actually said the full word on the Twitch stream, believe it or not. So and, you know, it's just classic Mod Mark. He's always the one that pushes the limits on these streams.
You know, but it makes sense because, I mean, like, he was always the one that was, I remember in the videos and stuff when I was first started, like, if the behind the scenes, there was always Mark doing some goofy shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's see, specific RuneFest memories, and once again, they spent a lot of time on this one. Mod Mark says that there's so much adrenaline around RuneFest for him that out of the RuneFest that he's been to, he's only slept twice on a RuneFest weekend.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And RuneFest adds another level of quality on top of the content built after RuneFest, and he feels that at RuneFest, the people he meets are an extension of their avatar, not the other way around as it is in most other MMOs, which I think is a really interesting thing to say, is that people are always dressing up as their RuneScape character at RuneFest and not the other way around, bringing yourself into the game. And this is, I think, why there's such an impact on the avatar that we had in the Mod Warden segment earlier. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
And you know, just so many fun things with RuneFest and with that, and lots of time spent in terms of, you know, preparing for it in the weeks leading up to it, lots of overtime and whatnot. And he's right. It is a completely different energy. And anybody who hasn't gone hasn't felt that energy that's there. But you can indeed feel that energy even as a player. So fingers crossed that those will be able to happen again. Because he said there's so many things that he does at RuneFest, like passing around his stein at the achievement party that everybody used to take a drink out of. And he said, could you really imagine doing that today or even after the COVID situation?
Yeah, not now.
What, pass a drink around?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Let's see. What was next? Where will RuneScape be in 20 years' time? They hope to see it as a rich, vibrant game, surprising people, a place where people and developers can call home. And they don't want it to be, you know, like a retirement home that's filled with nostalgia and everything to that effect. They want it to continue to evolve because RuneScape is at its best when it evolves. And it should be somewhere where the story keeps getting told over the next 20 years. Which I think we can all agree with. And, you know, I think if you lay the groundwork here and you do it this year and you do it next year, that's something that you can easily just, you know, repeat going forward. Mm-hmm. Then, what's your favorite in-game memory? Mod Mark talks about emergent gameplay. That is, of course, players playing content in ways that it wasn't designed. And he brought up flower gambling or other things such as hide and seek, wrestling, playing golf, or just players pretending to be bears, of all things. I don't get that one.
Okay.
I don't get how you would do that. I don't know. I don't get that. And, you know, Mod Osborne actually revealed a very, very big secret with this one. He said that when he first started working there, he didn't actually enjoy RuneScape. And there was a period of time that was the case for a few years until around when Dungeoneering came out. And he said because Dungeoneering was such a microcosm for RuneScape in general, he found himself a Dungeoneering group, later joined a clan, started playing quests for enjoyment, and then the game just clicked for him.
Yay!
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and when you start thinking about, you know, somebody who is working on design like that, and you start from a place where you don't even like the thing you're working on today, that's a pretty big evolution
in
itself.
Weird. Yeah, I mean, you've said like that happens. That's pretty common, but I always thought it was
that's very common in the games industry.
Odd.
Yeah, very common in the games industry. Because the people who make the games do it because they like making puzzles, they like solving problems, they like working on the games, so to speak, and that's where it comes from.
Hmm.
And then they ended it with a bit of a bittersweet story. This was one that was shared by Mod JD, and this happened before everything closed up last year in February. They heard of a RuneScape player who had been playing for the last 10 to 15 years or so who had a terminal illness. And he had a bucket list of things to do, and one of them was actually visiting Jagex. And they made this possible. They flew him, his brother, and his brother's girlfriend out. They put on a full tour. They showed him around, and, you know, they spent tons of time on this. Something that was initially supposed to, you know, only take 15 minutes on this tour actually took 2 hours to do. So they were very, very accommodating. And he got to try archaeology before that came out. And in what Mod JD says, he says this really encapsulates what RuneScape symbolizes for so many people. In that it's you know, a virtual world where people spend so much time that it's something that they need to see and something that, you know, they just want to have that further experience on how it's built, how it's created, who's all behind the scenes and whatnot. And, you know, I'm gonna actually agree with JD on that, because this is something that I think really sums this up. And like I've said many times before, can you think of any other game that has gone on for 20 years or even 10 years, and with that has a community that's as passionate and as widespread and as diverse as the RuneScape community?
No, I don't think so.
And that's what makes the game what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the players make this what it is, you know, and all of what it is, in all of its glory and not. Right. Know what I mean? Like,
but I think the positives far outweigh the negatives.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, by far, like 99 to 1, probably.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is such a – I mean, it's a really cool story at the same time. It's like I'm all you hit me with like a feeling bug. And
yeah, well, I think we're going to go there this episode too as well, honestly. But that's a live stream, and this is, you know, 20 years of RuneScape. Perfect summary, perfect panel, I think, to have it with here. You got some of the heaviest hitters on this one. If you don't normally watch live streams, if you just want to listen to something, you know, after our Airbnb update is done, go and listen to this and have a listen to this and listen to these guys talk for a bit and experience the passion that they have. But I think it all makes sense now. That's the live stream for this week. But I want to talk a bit about our memories of 20 years. And, you know, we're not going to go through a full list of them. I just want, you know, if you think 20 years of RuneScape, what is the first thing that jumps to your mind? Does anybody want to go first? Or should I go first?
Go first, Shane.
Okay. You go first. And, you know, this is the beginning. As I see it, as I said, I started in 2004, and this beginning actually precedes the RSBNB forums. It precedes the RSBNB Update podcast. It precedes everything you guys know as this community. And this, you know, you just say memory of RuneScape. The first one that has to come up for me, and Trekkie, I think you were there for this too, is running Nature Runes with Mike Pika for Larry R., who at the time was below 91 RuneCrafting. And this was, you know, at a point when RuneScape 2 had just come out and people were making the push for 99 RuneCrafting, and people would hire RuneCrafting runners who would run from the Nature Altar to the general store to unnote pure essence, and you would get paid a surplus along the way. You'd get paid enough to unnote the essence, but you'd also get paid a surplus. It was a good way of making money, and some of these RuneCraft runners also had rewards along the way. And I think this is probably how I first made my first million GP. It's how I got my first Amulet of Glory, and it's also how I believe we met Pika, who was the first co-host of this podcast. Trekkie, did you do that with us?
No, I don't think I did the nature running with y'all. That wasn't me.
All right.
Yeah, was not me. I didn't do nature running.
But that's how, because Pika, in addition to being the first co-host of this podcast, was our first admin on our website. Unfortunately, I've lost contact with him in the following years, but this is how the bedrock of this community was built. So you say first memory of RuneScape, that definitely comes into my mind.
You don't want to know my first memory of RuneScape.
All right, Tanis, you go first then.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, so my first memory has to be just getting hooked into the game Cook's assistant. Like, that's kind of where what opens your eyes are like, oh, I can make all of this stuff. Like, and this applies to everything. But my best memory has to be like 2015 New Year's Eve, house party, dungeoneering. By the end of the night, I ended up at Agaroth just butt naked, nothing but a weapon in my hand. Beat him too. Made it out of the fight. That was good times.
All right, Trekkie.
All right. You really want to know one of my first memories of RuneScape?
Yes.
You're going to hate me.
All right.
My general passion of completely hating hobgoblins. I hate hobgoblins. They are the worst creature in RuneScape, and I have gone out of my way to murder them exclusively because of my hatred of them. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because you know the little peninsula right behind Crafting Guild?
Yeah.
And how, you know how back in old school RuneScape, they more look like regular goblins instead of hobgoblins? And here I am going, I'm going to go kill some goblins. What do I find out as a level 10? Yeah, I'm outmatched. And I died there. That was my first memory of RuneScape. Yes, of me dying to hobgoblins. And you know what the sad part is?
What's that?
I did that twice. So first time was when I was like, I don't know, level 10 or so, and I never ventured past Falador, mostly staying in Lumbridge and Varrock at the time, and did all the little quests there. Very rarely do I venture to Falador, and then like a couple of level later, I'm like, ooh, hey, there's some goblins over here. I'm gonna, oh, shoot. So I died there again.
F.
Oh, no. See, here's the thing. After I leveled up, I went back there and I murdered every single one.
Good.
See, if that goblin champion of theirs was a match for me, was available at the time, yeah, I'm pretty sure I would have met that creature more than once. I would have been very happy to slaughter his face and put his head on my wall in my home.
Oh, that's another memory. When Construction came out, that episode with you, me, Lance, and Pika.
Yeah. Was Pika there? I remember.
Or no, maybe he wasn't. It was just the three of us, I think.
No, Patrick. Patrick was there too.
Oh, right.
Because we had to explain to you what I said and why everybody was cracking up and why I was so embarrassed.
Shane.
Yep. It had to deal with the heads on the wall, but we'll leave it at that. Well, you know, lots of acts of kindness always go around in RuneScape, and, you know, lots of money has changed hands over the years, and, you know, we actually you have to wonder who buys certain things, and we have a question about this next, but I'll just take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters for the first time this year. This week, I'd like to thank Andrew C., Arvids L., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Cook Me Plox, Diana, Duramax, Jade Gizmo, Jade W., Jason S., Jim M., Joe M., John P., Keski, Kevin G., Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Melanoric, Nora, Parnassius, Rastafa, Ricky A., Ryan P., Samantha R., Soupfinder, Steve D., Stubby, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V., Zachary K., and Zant. Thank you, all of you, for your support. It truly does mean the world to us as we head on into this new year. The monthly bid is already in the can for this week. We're talking about our memories of RuneScape, the first 10 years of all the updates that have come out. We're looking back at that time, and if you want to gain access to that, just check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/RSBNB. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month, and you'll gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as high-quality stereo versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the show, as well as exclusive access to the clips that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, which is 50 weeks away now at this point, yet again. So perfect time to sign up for that. But, of course, we're also working to some things in the future, including a time when Tanis and myself might subject ourselves to great pain with a range of spicy wings for your enjoyment with the Hot Ones challenge.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's if we ever reach 500 a month. So we'll see about that. But if all of this and more sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. And if you are a Patreon supporter, we do have a Patreon survey that you can find sticky there. And we would kindly ask, if you're a Patreon supporter, to fill that out. That'll help us. It'll help us guide where we take Patreon this year. And your input is invaluable to us. So please do fill that out if you are a Patreon supporter. But once again, just thank you to everybody for making this all possible. And I look forward to see what crazy discussions we get up to this year on our monthly bits. But we also do have a question right now from Parnassius, which I will play for us. It's an audio question.
G'day all, it's Parnassius back again after a bit of a hiatus on the questions. Hopefully everyone has survived the debacle that was 2020, and we're all fit and raring to go for a much better 2020. My question for you guys this week is in regards to one of the new potions introduced during the Auth and Dig site, and that's the Spirit of Attraction. It's great to see some nice high-level skilling potions come into the game, but I do find a major flaw with this one. Now, since it's a level 116 potion, the majority of players would want to use it to collect Seren Spirits while they're skilling. The potion right now costs around 138k on the GE, which works out about 23k per dose, but only lasts for 6 minutes. So 10 doses in an hour works out at 230k. The problem is you may only see sort of 2 or 3 Seren Spirits an hour on average, and that's if you're lucky. And the drops are usually things like a cut diamond, a key half, you know, or maybe 70 or 80 big bones. Yes, there is a chance at the HSR, but you know, let's be honest, that's so rare, it's negligible. Do you think that increasing the timer to 20 or 30 minutes would help, or would you prefer to see a different approach? Perhaps we could use the potion to charge up the necklace to auto-collect, or we could have another relic release to capture them. I like the idea of the relic myself, but it, you know, the problem is that the potion as it is doesn't seem feasible for many players to use. Anyway, that is it. Love to hear your discussion on it. Thanks in advance for that. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas and a happy and safe New Year.
Okay, Spirit Attraction Potion, 116 Herb Lore. I just want to recap the recipe for this. So you need a Primal Extract, an Enhanced Lung Potion, and a Time-Worn Tincture. To make the Enhanced Luck Potion, you need a Luck Potion and 6 Onyx Bolt Tips. To make the Luck Potion itself, you need a Bloodweed Potion Unfinished and 1 Crushed Dragonstone.
That's a lot. No wonder Dragonstone is so expensive now.
Yeah, this was meant to be, you know, like a sink for these Dragonstones and Onyx, I think.
Okay.
I honestly don't understand this potion. I see it as something that I would personally remove from the game and replace it with something else. I don't know what, but...
Oh, sorry.
I don't see the point of this potion. The only reason I see to use this potion is if it had some kind of glowy effect on it, which, I mean, they could very well add some kind of glowy effect that's customizable and just have it, you know, being a way to flex on people that you have money to burn. That's what I see this potion as, honestly. And that's why I don't understand it. It collects Seren Spirits, Divine Blessings, Chronicle Fragments, Elder Chronicles, Fire Spirits, Divine Fire Spirits, Forge Phoenixes, Divine Forge Phoenixes, Manifested Knowledge, Divine Carpet Dust, and Guthix Butterflies.
Yeah, none of that matters besides the Seren Spirits. That's just what it is. If you're training the other stuff, you are not spending 135k per dose, or whatever it is, per potion. I mean,
it's per hour. But yeah, it's like 20k per dose.
Yeah, so no, that's not happening. I said when this came out that it should be a much, much longer duration. Probably, yeah, like a 20, 30 minute duration. I mean, something like that.
15 minutes, and it's 4 doses an hour.
Okay, well, I mean, that would be better. We could start there and adjust as you go.
But even that aside, it just doesn't feel useful for collecting anything aside from a Seren Spirit.
That's the only thing it's useful for, which I think Renasius has a point when you say, like, you could do that with a relic. The only thing that I'm a little apprehensive about, like, so I love the functionality of the potion. Like, I think it's great. I miss a lot of Saren spirits. So it would be nice to not, like, miss those drops. And I don't even care about the drops. I care about that one in a 1 trillion chance on HSR, right? That's what I really care about. And so if I mean, if it was reasonable, I would run those. But at the same time, the Saren spirits were put in, I think, as a little extra for skilling and an active.
It was a reward to click on it. But then can you combat that with this, you know, the amount being spent up here, right?
Yeah. You see the problem I'm having? Like, which is why, like, that's why I like the relic idea, but if you take that mechanic away, then, like you said, you could just, it really doesn't,
like,
have a place.
Yeah, it feels like there's no point.
Yeah. But, I mean, extending it should be the minimal step. Like, that should be the least that is done. Like, that absolutely needs to be done.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, like, when I say I don't understand this potion, I understand what it's meant to do, but I don't understand who would use it, right? Like, I've yet to find somebody who is using this thing. Have you heard of anyone? Like, you're fairly well connected, Tanis, with people who have lots of money.
Yeah, no, they don't. I don't know anybody that burns it.
So, I mean, I think you just got to increase the duration, because if you're going to put it in a relic, then this potion is useless. And then we're back at the same thing where I said, just, you know, delete the potion.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you were saying early, oh, sorry, you finish up.
No, go ahead, Tricky.
I was saying that, as you said earlier, Shane doesn't suppose we have money stink. And I think the thing is that if you're thinking a Saren spirit is going to come up here in every five minutes, you're just drinking a potion and kind of praying, because no Saren spirit shows up every 5 minutes.
Right.
And so if you think it's a money stink, yeah, because people who have tons of money are just going to be like, I'm going to drink all this up. Every, you know, auto click it every single time. It's off cooldown with my overloads and everything else. And then, but.
Yeah, one onyx creates 24 bolt tips. So, 6 bolt tips is a quarter of an onyx.
An onyx are really high.
Like, is this thing meant to be like a sink for onyx and dragonstone?
I mean, maybe, but the problem is you can't sink stuff on the skilling side like this. We don't have that kind of money.
And the thing is about dragonstones, you forget that, hey, you actually need these for archaeology.
Now, if you wanted to make it more useful and more appealing and justify the cost, then give it some kind of effect, some kind of a luck effect while clue scrolling. And you could do the same kind of like 15 to 20 minute duration. That would make it last longer. You might be able to do, a couple clue scrolls per dose, right. And have, you know, a chance at a better item. I don't know what the effect could be, but that would be the other alternative I would see to make it a better potion, more appealing.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, I agree. It's just something that I think needs to be worked on. I don't have an answer to it, but I agree. Definitely something needs to be done on this, and I don't have an answer for this, but I would personally just remove it from the game, or just, you know, further make it a way to flex on people, give it a nice little cosmetic effect to it, right? Because I mean, we're already sinking a dragonstone and a quarter of an onyx into it.
So. Yeah, I agree. Why not? Will you glow?
Yeah, and have it be customizable, right? I mean, it's a potion recipe you earn from the dragon canary, and we know how they love to relax.
That's true.
Maybe it could be that. But thank you, Parnassius. Alrighty, we're going to wrap the show up now. And we're kind of changing how Pick of the Week and Tech News and all that stuff works. We got multiple Picks of the Week. That's how we're going to roll Tech News going forward. And mine this week is a fun little website/page that talks about secure messaging applications. And, you know, everybody's always talking about are the three-letter agencies able to see what I'm sending to people, right? Well, this one has a table of a number of common messaging protocols out there, and it goes through is that, you know, does the company or app secure my messages and attachments? So Allo from Google, iMessage, Messenger, Skype, WhatsApp, the answer to that is no in terms of, you know, your messages aren't secure. So if you want one that secures your message, you got to go with something like Signal or Threema or Wire, and even Telegram doesn't do that. It also talks about how it's set up in terms of the security capabilities within the app, and if there's surveillance capabilities, or does the company provide a transparency report? It also says, hey, where is this company based out of? So if you don't want a messaging app that's based out of the U.S., you can go with this. And to me, you know, if you don't want something that's based out of the U.S., but you want something that's end-to-end encrypted, it looks like Threema is the best way to go, because we all know in this day and age that if you're not paying for a service like from Google or Facebook, you are the product. Apple, of course, takes a different model with that as well. So this is just a fun little way to look at this and say, okay, I'm maybe looking at changing how I communicate with people going forward. Is there an app or protocol that I can adopt that's going to provide me a better experience than what I'm currently using? And you can see the big ones here, the ones that everybody uses are the least secure against snooping, of course, being iMessage and Facebook Messenger on that. So you can find this at securemessagingapps.com. And I think this is something that, you know, it's just interesting to look at. Personally, it doesn't bother me that much. Everybody I know is on iMessage, so that's what I use. But it looks like some of the best options out there are things like Signal and Threema. So that's the pick of the week this week from me.
Interesting. That's cool.
It even says, does the app collect my customers' data? So,
duh.
And, you know, Threema does not. And that's why Threema, to me, looks like the best one you can choose. Granted, you do need to pay for it, but there you go.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
That's true. There you go. Perfect example. Very cool. I'll have to use that next time you're looking for a messaging app, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Skype is horrible, by the way.
That's
I'm sure.
Yeah. In terms of security, if you're looking for that. But it just boils down. And, you know, we just need to be clear that for the vast majority of people out there, this isn't going to matter. But if you do want to, you know, just take that privacy to the next level, this is a good starting point. So, All right, Tanis, I believe you have one you want to do.
Yeah, so if you like driving or you like simulators, I got a game for you this week. And it's called the American Truck Simulator, or ATS. And you drive a big rig around, you haul in freight. It started when the game first came out. It started, I think you had California and Nevada. The reason I'm choosing it as the pick of the week this week, there's been more DLC that has came out since then, but there were some recent DLC, which I think was Utah and Wyoming, I believe. So now we have Oregon, Washington, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming. So it's the Pacific Northwest. It's got Arizona and Nevada, so we've got some Southwest.
Yeah, it's on Nevada. I see San Francisco.
Yeah, but it's really fun because, like, so you can – this is – it's very similar to, like, Flight Simulator, and you can make it as user-friendly and arcadey to play as you'd like, or as, like – serious as you'd like.
Like how, you know, Sirianna and I take our flight simulator stuff.
Yeah, like you have to obey the speed limit. Yeah, like you gotta like obey the speed limit or you're gonna get pulled over and you're gonna get fines. And if you damage in any way, you know, the truck or the cargo, you know, it's a penalty. And You got to use your turn signals and, you know, all of that. Like, Traverse Girls apply. And so, like, this, it's actually been fun for me because this is as close to driving a truck I'm ever going to get. And you just, but I mean, it's really well, like, drawn. The graphics are, you know, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's nice. And, like, you know, you can, like, look at the sights without having to worry, you know, that you might get in a real accident or something. It's just a fun game. And when you get to the place, you know, of course it has options on, like, you don't have to park the freight, or you can park the freight in, like, kind of an easy parking place, or you can do it, like, in a hard parking place. And it's half, it seems like half of the trip sometimes is figuring out how to get this trailer parked in the right way, which is, I don't know, it can be frustrating, but it's also kind of cool when you finally get it parked in there. You're like, yes, you drop that trailer and head out.
Does it have the different kind of brake control, like the air brakes and whatnot?
Well, it does have air brake. I know it's got the sounds. I think.
I clicked more. Various simulation settings for enthusiasts, including air brake simulation, different types of brakes, including retarders, Jake brakes, trailer brakes, and multiple types of transmissions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know there's new transmissions now, like, that are like the real deal kind. I mean, it was there before, but now it's like the 18-wheeler, you know, serious, like, transmission stuff. Yeah, I enjoy it, man. Like, because, like, okay, when you think about it, like, racing games, you're going so fast, and, like, I'm not always, like, I can't even always stay on the road and stuff. Like, this is it's a perfect game. Like, even when I am trucking, buddy, I mean, like I'm rolling eastbound and down, hammer down, you know, breaker 1-9, what's your 20?
You have to pack a shotgun in the cab?
You can look in the shotgun seat. I don't know. But you're, I mean, even then, you're like, you know, you're maxing out probably like 90 miles an hour going down the interstate. Well, I can keep it on the road mostly, you know, so it's like, I really enjoy it. So that's my pick of the week.
Wonderful. Trekkie, do you have a pick of the week?
Unfortunately, I do not.
All right, that is fine. I believe you can start us off on the first achievements then.
But there's so many.
That's why we split them by three.
That's why there's three of us.
All right. So, first up is Party Pants, who had 99 fire making on the 4th. Taffy Spy, 99 archaeology on the 4th. We have Chaz 51-51-00, who got 99 attack on the 3rd. Arconia got 99 construction and hunter on the 2nd, along with Glyfer, who got 99 agility. Lana Iser got 120 invention on the 31st on New Year's Eve. Manin got 99 mining. Silly Cat 98. Also got 99 fishing on the 31st. Failure to comply. 99 defense. Scarecrow got 120 archaeology on the 30th. Mind got 100 archaeology on the 29th. Shoto 3000 got 99 archaeology on the 28th. Chaz 5100 again got 99 slayer on the 27th. Sparty Pants again got 99 smithing on December 26th.
All right, picking that up on Christmas Day, Garageo got 99 archaeology on December 25th. Mike Strike 3 with 99 woodcutting on the 25th. Zerdones got 99 constitution also on the 25th. Lots of people having fun on Christmas Day. Iskels got 99 invention on the 24th. Mama Mystic got 99 archaeology on the 24th, as well as Rune Dragon with 99 firemaking and Sparty Pants with 99 construction. Then on the 3rd, we have Iomises with 120 invention, Jammy Jenny with 99 cooking, Zardones with 99 slayer on the 23rd, Brappa got 99 archaeology on the 22nd, Daydreamer got 99 woodcutting on the 20th, and Prodigal Gas got 120 farming on the 20th. Madhouse SC got 99 fletching on December 18th.
Okay, well, to finish us out, we had Arcronia with 99 agility on December 17th. Bull Bazzard with 99 summoning on the 17th. Devil Chat with 99 fishing on the 17th. And 99 crafty. Jammy Ginny with 99 fishing and 99. Oh, yeah, 99. That, wait, that's on the 17th. Then Arcronia came back again with a 99 fishing on the 16th. And Jammy Ginny got 99 runecrafting and woodcutting on December 16th. Then we had Zero Aces with 99 archaeology on the 16th, and Sparty Pants with 99 crafting and agility on December 16th. Nice job, everybody.
And the backlog is done. And, you know, that's because we took a bit of a break. We put out our special shows. We had our Lord Digger's Orphan episode on Christmas Eve. Then we had the clip show last week. And now, of course, we're back this week for the 20th anniversary. And it has been a ride. It really has been, you know, going back to 2004, starting the podcast in 2005, and all of the years and all of the people. It's really been an experience for me, and you know, that's another thing I remember a lot of with that. So this has just been a great privilege to be a part of this game for all of these years, and I think we'll just end the show off by saying what we've been up to. You know, holiday time, that was good. New Year's and Christmas were both calm, as you would expect in this time, of course. And you know, on RuneScape, bit of Yak Track here and there, a bit of archaeology here and there. I'm currently in the process of gathering all the materials myself to finish my artifacts and get 119 archaeology. And in doing so, I'll get something to the tune of like 2,300 pylon batteries as well for all the collections I'll be completing from Zamorak 4. So that'll be good fun. That's what I've been up to. I really need to focus more on Yak Track, but archaeology is just still so damn addicting.
I hear you.
How about you, Trekkie?
Mostly since I've been working, and that's about it. RS-wise, I finally decided to force myself to do the memory strand thing over there in the hunting area to the west. I just did the first prestige, because I always have thousands of those strands in my bank. I should really just figure out what to do with these instead of leaving here forever, because my currency thing has already filled up. As a little bit of real life thing, some of my coworkers who have been really hesitant, who work in the hospital, have been really hesitant about getting the vaccine. So me and two other of my colleagues decided to be good role models to our people who are under us. So we all decided to go get the vaccine at the same time and do a little picture thing for them. That's what we did. So this on Monday, me and a couple others all got stabbed in the arm. As far as I know, no third eye has grown on back of our heads, and I have not been craving for a Corona beer.
if only the rest of us could be so lucky to get it at the same time that you do. Yeah, that's something we're all looking forward to.
I was perfectly willing to wait, but I think one of the things was they were offering, and then the other thing was everyone was always really, really nervous about it. So I was like, hey, we should just be good role models and go get it so that people under us would go get it too if they so choose to. The thing is, because of the supply and demand, if you're unable to get it now as the first responder, you're mostly not going to get it until March or April. According to some of my sources, if you're not getting it now, you have to wait because they want to make sure there's enough of them for the second dose. So that's there. That's right.
All right. How about you, Tanis?
You know, I had a great holiday. I mean, I actually had a bit of a COVID scare the week before Christmas, or well, actually Christmas week, but everything was fine. So
it was all good.
Yeah, it was all good. My brother is just an idiot. didn't tell me his girlfriend was sick, and I spent a whole day in the car with him. So that was a little, I was a little nervous, but it turned out fine. Started my new job this week, and spent some time. spent some time going around the Lumbridge Crater and kind of checking stuff out there. I wasn't that impressed with the skilling that was on offer at the moment. So, I went right back to archaeology because I'm like you're saying, I can't drag myself away from it. And so I'm back down in the Warforge again.
We'll have to see what happens after we get 120, right? Like, where do you go after that?
That'll be the test.
But thank you so much for joining us, everybody. This has been a wonderful episode to celebrate 20 years here, and you know, I feel like the story this year is just beginning. So if you want to subscribe to us, have the podcast delivered automatically to you, check us out at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, YouTube, anything. Get them delivered automatically to you. And with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
Yeah.